Today in Canadian history, July 22nd. I'm Joe Barima. On July 22nd, 1793, Alexander Mackenzie reached the shores of the Pacific Ocean and became the first European to cross the North American continent north of Mexico. This was a huge day for Mackenzie. After years of hard work and a couple of wrong turns, he had arrived on the shores of the Pacific Ocean. To mark the event, he did what many of us would have done. He went to the nearest rock and, more or less, wrote Alexander Mackenzie was here. Alan Rowe is an instructor in university studies at Keano College at Fort McMurray.
Well, Mackenzie is Scottish-born, born in the 1760s, and comes over to North America with his father. Just prior to the American Revolution, they arrive in New York, and because that was a volatile place for British loyalists, like Mackenzie's father, he ends up in Montreal to do his schooling, which was a good place to be if you want to get in the fur trade. And it's in Montreal in the 1780s that Mackenzie makes connections with other merchants interested in the fur trade, and he gets involved with the emerging Northwest Company, which is established in 1787 to challenge Hudson's Bay Company dominance of the Western fur trade. So Mackenzie rises through the ranks very quickly, and by the late 1780s, he is sent into present-day Alberta to establish the Northwest Company's presence in the Athabasca District. He'll actually be instrumental, one of the two individuals responsible for establishing Fort Chipewyan, which is Alberta's oldest fort.
Encouraged by some information from a partner in the trading company, Alexander Mackenzie believed he could find a route to the Pacific Ocean. So, in 1789, he set out from Fort Chipewyan, which is located in what is now the far northeast section of Alberta. His first trip did not go exactly as planned.
His first trip was, disappointing, to say the least. He's convinced that he's not that far away from the Pacific Ocean based on a misreading of some charts and maps from other explorers, and heads off in the wrong direction. He's heading off of Lake Athabasca, ends up going north, and ends up in the Arctic on the river that now bears his name. But at the time, some historians claim he was so distraught at having ended up in the Arctic instead of the beautiful Pacific that he coined it the River Disappointment. So some historians question whether that really happened or that's just an urban legend that developed after. But there's no question he was angry. He was disappointed. Navigation wasn't his strong suit. The other urban myth about Mackenzie is that he had no idea he was going north. He figures it out partway up the Mackenzie River or the Disappointment River, but he decides I may as well continue since I'm partway there. No reason to turn around. Let's see where this river goes. So it did require a fair amount of specialized training and equipment, and he does acquire that. Mackenzie has come down to us through history as being an incompetent navigator, and that's not entirely fair. Some of his rivals in the 1780s made fun of him for doing this and maybe played up the extent to which his navigational skills were lacking. But he persevered, and he went back to London and trained, got some better equipment, got a better idea how to navigate, and his second voyage in the early 1790s goes much better.
And I'm sure that the second time around he was far more inclined to stop and ask for directions.
Yes, he was, on more than one occasion. In fact, Indigenous peoples probably saved his life, because when he makes it into B.C., and his second trip, he'll go down the Peace River, and he'll end up in British Columbia, and then eventually we'll get in the vicinity of the Fraser, and he wants to continue down, but is advised that's a death trap. You really don't want to do that. So following the advice of his guides, he decides to tramp out across land, and he makes it to the Bella Coola River, and then out into the Pacific again in July 1793. Well, it was really important to the Northwest Company. See, the Hudson's Bay Company could always transport its goods into Hudson's Bay and then unload them and use the river systems there. The Northwest Company had the much more arduous task of setting up their goods in Montreal, shipping them to the Great Lakes, and then unloading them at the western end of the Great Lakes and carrying them inland. It was terribly inefficient. It was wildly expensive. So the Northwest Company was always at the forefront of river exploration, because they wanted to find a route to the Pacific. They wanted to try and find a nice, slow, meandering river that they could set up a fort on the Pacific coast and supply their inland posts from the west rather than from the east to cut down on costs. To me, I'm interested in how that myth develops and is passed down through history, because it's an interesting case study in how we remember the past in the general public and as historians. And up until after World War II, if you read a book about Mackenzie's voyages, you wouldn't know Aboriginal peoples had any role in it. But in fact, they played crucial roles as guides, offering advice, helping to navigate, carrying equipment, hunting, and all sorts of things. He really wouldn't have been able to do it without that type of assistance. So all of the older narratives and all of the older commemorations by the government emphasize as if he's some single Herculean figure tramping through the wilderness single-handedly. But he's following advice all the way from First Nations people who have much more experience with this sort of thing. Well, there's a little bit of nationalism in here because, first of all, the Canadian historians were drawn to the whole issue of river exploration in the West as one of their early themes, because Canadian historians are always looking for themes in history that give the Canadian experience some unity. And geography is one of those things, the East-West exploration, the spread of the fur trade. So many historians in the 19th and early 20th century saw the fur trade as literally laying the foundation of Canada. So naturally, Mackenzie, through his success reaching the Pacific, would become an iconic figure because he's the one who connects the two coasts, essentially, through his exploration. But on a more fundamental level, he beats the Americans by about 10 years. The Lewis and Clark expedition, of course, sent in the early 1800s to cross the North American continent to the south. And, of course, most Americans will claim Lewis and Clark did it first. Canadian historians were quick to point out a Scottish guy did it first up here. So there's a little nationalistic element to it as well.
As always, today is a day full of Canadian history. Back in 1948, in the second referendum in as many months, Newfoundland voted in favor of joining the Canadian Confederation on this day back in 1948. Newfoundland officially became a part of Canada nearly a year later in 1949. Alex Trebek, host of the game show Jeopardy, was born in Sudbury, Ontario, on this day in 1940. Former Canadian Prime Minister William Lyon Mackenzie King died on this day in 1950. He was 75. And on this day, we aired this episode of Today in Canadian History.
Today in Canadian History is produced by CJSW at 90.9 FM in Calgary. The executive producers are Joe Barima and Mark Affeld. Original music is provided by the Fisk, Fletcher & May Trio. This series is not meant to be a definitive source on our past. Instead, we hope that it sparks a desire to learn more about our unique history. For more information on the series, or to recommend an event or moment, check out our website at cgsw.com/todayincanadianhistory.
Little known fact, Alexander Mackenzie and his group were accompanied by a brown dog who followed their canoes and kept guard at night. They called the dog, Our Dog.